Good evening again. I'm just fired up here. Nice to see each one tonight, and we trust that you'll be blessed as a result of coming to the meeting. And again, I can speak on behalf of you. We're not here proclaiming to be preachers. We're just here simply to have a message that is from God, a message that will affect your life, but even more importantly, a message from the Bible that will affect your eternity. That's really the purpose of our meeting tonight, and we are thankful that you are here. And we certainly are praying that if you are here tonight and you are not saved, that you will listen like your soul depends on it, because it does. Again, it doesn't depend on me, it doesn't depend on Ian, it doesn't depend on the gospel hall. This is something that is between you and the living God, and it's a message from the Bible. It's a message that God has for you. And just think of it that way. Really, we are just simply just a mouthpiece in place of God trying to present to you a message that is from the Bible. So we would certainly welcome you, and we'd welcome you back next Sunday evening as well, Lord willing, at the same time at 7 o'clock, and prayer meeting and Bible study here at 7:30, and again next Sunday morning, the remembrance meeting at 10, and you are certainly welcome to attend each of those meetings. So before we open the scriptures, we're just going to take a moment and ask for help from God, and we're going to pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that we are singing of that we do have a living Savior. And even though we feel so often we fail, yet we are trusting in a God and a Savior that can never ever fail. And we just ask for help tonight to present Him, that we would present Him according to the Word of God, and just ask for help tonight as we'd open the Bible together in our Savior's name. Amen. I'm going to read in Daniel, don't be scared. I'm just going to really use a story. It's a story that really fascinated me as a kid. It was in my daily reading a couple weeks ago, and when Dale asked me to help out, this has been kind of on my mind. And I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm just going to pick up a couple of verses for context, and I'm going to read a couple of connection verses, and then just to help to open for our brother Ian tonight. So we're going to read in Daniel chapter 3. And really, as I was looking at this, I was thinking that there was really the story begins really the chapter before Nebuchadnezzar. This is one of the great kings, and I was doing a little bit of research today, this afternoon, and he was a very, very powerful king. About 2,600 years ago, very, very powerful king. He was really he was a son of the king before, and he had led great exploits for that kingdom. Then later, as he became king, he had built many things. And well, then they did invade the land of Israel, the land of Judah, and because of Judah's sin, they were really the people of God. They were the ones that were supposed to know the Bible. They were supposed to know God, but because of their sin, God used Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon really to come and really destroyed the temple and took many of them back to Babylon. But it's interesting, we can read Daniel, he's a prophet. Daniel was one of those people that were brought to Babylon, and Daniel really, his prophecy, there's many great things that I don't even understand at all, but really in the early part of Daniel, there's really a narrative of when Daniel was brought, and he has three friends that we're going to talk about tonight, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel, he was a man that knew God. He was a man that had, because of God, because of his relationship with God, God really used Daniel to interpret a dream, dreams actually, of King Nebuchadnezzar. And if you follow through the story of Daniel, really, Nebuchadnezzar, that great king, he actually had an experience a little later. We're not so much going to talk about this tonight, but Nebuchadnezzar, because of his position, because of his success, he really got lifted up in pride. And in a couple chapters after this, actually in chapter 4, Belshazzar had an experience where God really brought him down to size. And after 7 years of being like an animal, living like an animal, this was a great king of Babylon, and God had really made him live like an animal for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar realized that in the sight of God, I'm just so small. And Nebuchadnezzar, he became a believer in the one true God. But really, what I want to think about tonight is back before that, in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, he had a great dream. And it was a dream that he dreamed, and he was fearful because he didn't understand it. Well, he dreamed about a great big image. And there's many details there. But as Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and as Daniel gave the interpretation, he really missed the importance of it. And all he could think of was this great big image. And he thought of more about himself and thought of this image being about him, how big and great. Well, this is what happened in chapter 3. So we're going to read, we'll pick up Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. So this was after he had that dream. It was after Daniel had given the interpretation. It should have been something that would have spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, which in our terminology would be 90 feet or 30 meters, for those that are more prone, more used to metric. So that was a really, really tall image. Never were to go back to the dream that he had, it was a big image, but he was really just the head of gold, and there was other things, and really what happened to that image, it was taken out by the power of God. Well, he missed that altogether. And all he could think of was this great image that was about Nebuchadnezzar, and he built this image. And then if you read down through the chapter, you'll see, let's pick up verse 3, then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together at the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried, "To you it is commanded," so this came from Nebuchadnezzar, "to you it is commanded, O people, O nation," and he's saying, everybody, "that when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whosoever falls not down and doesn't worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." We're going to read a bit more in a second, but for those that believed in the one true God, they would have known the first commandment was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I'm not sure I don't know everybody here, so I'm not sure your view on God or what your relationship with God is, but we are here to present to you the one true God, the one God that has created everything, the one God that has created the world and everything that is in it, he has created you. And if we were to read a little later to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, who had really taken a path away from God, and sadly he lost his life and lost his soul, but Daniel said words to him, "You knew about Nebuchadnezzar, but didn't do any good because you never even considered the God." And he says, "In whose hand your breath is." I want to ask you tonight, have you thought about God today? Have you considered, one of the wisest men that ever lived, Solomon, who was a great king and had lots of wisdom and lots of riches. And one thing that he said was, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." So I want to ask you tonight, what thoughts have you had concerning God today? Many people, they get up and they go through the day and I mean, I have to admit sometimes we even us as Christians so often, it's just kind of a routine, isn't it? We pray, we read the Bible, but so often we get so busy that we really don't stop and to think about how great our God is. So I want to ask you tonight, have you ever stopped today to consider God? What thoughts have you had concerning God? We've just come through the Christmas season and we have recognized the Son of God that was born into the world. And I want to ask you tonight, have you stopped even this past week to ask yourself, why was Jesus born into the world? And here is, as Nebuchadnezzar, he forgot all about, even though Daniel had told him that the meaning of the dream, and he had forgot all that. All he could think of was how great he was. And maybe that's where you're at tonight. Maybe you're concerned about yourself, and you're thinking about your future. And again, there's nothing wrong with making plans for the future. It's really only wise for us to interview, to think about our education and to think about, what am I going to do for employment? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? And what sort of things are going to be occupied? Those are all honorable things. But again, I want to ask you, and this is really what to impress upon your mind right now again. What kind of thoughts have you given about God, your Creator? Now, I mentioned Daniel, who was as an Israelite, and he was a prophet. There was a really, I don't know how if he was exactly in the same time, I meant to look it up, but there was another prophet, Amos, who wrote to the same group of people, and he said, prepare to meet your God. You know, that's really why we live in a world where people will try with all their intellect, and they will argue with all their brain power, and they'll try to explain away God that, you know, if I can get rid of God, I don't have to worry about facing him in the end. You know, it's like the the illustration that we say is really just a myth, but, you know, you've heard people saying that an ostrich burying his head in the sand to avoid danger. And whether or not you believe that there is a God or not, the Bible tells us that there is a God. The very first words of our Bible, in the beginning, God created. And again, something else I want to clear up is that there's another misconception in the world. People think, well, God is this cold, hard character that's millions and millions of miles away, and he really doesn't care about us, and he just can't wait to dump us into hell. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. We need to be honest with you tonight that God is a holy God. We need to be clear with you that God, because of who he is, he cannot tolerate sin. And I'm not thinking so much about murder and theft and all these other big sins. Because really, every one of us has fallen short of God's standard. We've all told lies. We've all known that we should have done something, but we've just maybe avoided to step aside and just kind of skirted away around it. Well, really, for us to know to do something that's good and we don't do it, the Bible says it's sin. How many silly thoughts do we have? Every day, every minute almost, God says that's sin. Disobeying your parents, maybe not caring about your neighbor or your friend when you know that they have a need and you just pretend you don't see it, well, in God's eyes, that's sin. So we're not here tonight, you know, putting ourselves up in the pedals like Nebuchadnezzar. He really exalted himself, and that's where we have read, where he had put out a decree that I want everybody to bow to this image. And if not, you're going to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. So there was three friends of Daniel, and they were Jews. They were ones that believed in the one true God, and they refused to bow. And there was those that noticed, and they told Nebuchadnezzar, those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have refused to bow. So we're going to read a little bit more here in verse 16. Because they were taken before Nebuchadnezzar, and as they were asked, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, or we don't have to be careful to answer you in this matter. If it so be that our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, they said, we are depending on God. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, or we are not going to worship the golden image which you have set up. So then Nebuchadnezzar, he had a temper tantrum, he got mad, and he commanded that the furnace be heated up seven times hotter than it should. He found the strongest men in his kingdom. They grabbed a hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tied them up, and they cast them into the fire. We can read in 21, these men were bound in their coats and their hats. Their garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew the men. So these were big, strong men, and they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into a fiery furnace. You know, I have a big wood boiler, and I sure appreciate the feel of that heat, but that's just a small fire. This was a fire that was so hot that just by those men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they were killed. That's how hot the fire was. In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Well, then, so there is Nebuchadnezzar probably expecting them to be burned up in an instant. Well, something very, very interesting happened. The king, he was actually astonished. It says he looked, he seen four men. So you can imagine a fire that was that hot. You know, sometimes we throw things in paper and it's almost an instant, it's gone. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar expected. And he actually asked, did you cast three men in? And I said, yeah. Well, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire. Then he makes an interesting comment. The form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. And this is really, I want to use this as a springboard into what really is the point of my message. You know, because 1,500 years or 500 years later, there was one that was born into the nation of Israel. I've just mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born. That's what we just celebrated on Thursday. The Lord Jesus, if he's born into this world, lived here for 33 years. And we were mentioning this morning in our Bible study, we were talking about how those religious leaders, they had delivered him up to the Romans. The Romans, those soldiers, they took him out to Calvary, and he was nailed by his hands and his feet to the cross. And in the darkness, hanging upon the cross, you know what actually happened? The Lord Jesus Christ endured what we could never, ever endure. Now, I need to be faithful with you. And as you're looking at this map, this chart that is behind me, these are things that we really do not like to have to talk about. That fire was hot, seven times hot. We cannot begin to explain to you how awful, really, we don't understand how terrible and how awful hell in the lake of fire is going to be. And just like these men were that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were really killed right away. Well, the Bible actually doesn't speak of annihilation. The Bible speaks of eternal suffering. But there as Nebuchadnezzar looked and he recognized there was something different about that force when he noticed that these three men, he expected them to be consumed with the fire while they were walking around. Well, then there was a force when his form was like the Son of God. We could have read in Lamentations chapter 1. Again, Jeremiah, he was another prophet who was a contemporary of Daniel's. And he's really lamenting over a city that was destroyed, the city of Jerusalem that was destroyed because of their sin. And he says, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Then he speaks, which really are prophetic words of the Savior. From above, he has sent fire into my bones. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, he endured what you and I should have endured eternally in hell in the lake of fire. He felt the fire of God's wrath for you. And he suffered. And you know, for those that were Jews, they were familiar with the sacrifices. A few weeks ago, Scott was here with his model of the tabernacle, and he was talking about some of the different offerings that were offered. And they were used to lambs and goats and different animals being taken. And as those animals were laid upon the sacrifice and the fire consumed the sacrifice, well, upon Calvary, something else happened. The sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, he consumed the fire. And just as Nebuchadnezzar, as he looked into that flame and he recognized there was something different about this fourth man, he said, it's like the Son of God. And tonight we are not just presenting to you something that was just like the Son of God. This was an angel of God. This was really a pre-incarnate form of the Son of God himself. We are presenting to you a Savior. That's why we sang that second hymn. We serve a living Savior. You know, we are not here tonight presenting to you some great hero of faith that lived a great life and had a great following and then died as a martyr. That's not what we are presenting to you tonight. And we can be thankful for men and women in the past that have have given their lives for their country and given their lives for freedom. We certainly recognize that. But we're here tonight to present to you the Savior to come into the world, to go to Calvary's cross, where he endured such terrible things at man's hands, and it was awful. But we are here to present to you what the Lord Jesus did upon Calvary's cross when he suffered for our sins. Peter tells us he suffered the just for the unjust, that he would bring us to God. And just for a moment, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 2, and if you want, you can look as well. 1 John chapter 2. We could have read in chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 7 of chapter 1. It said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can be thankful for the blood of Christ. But 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, and this is speaking of the Lord Jesus. He says, Jesus Christ is the righteous in the verse before. And it says, and he is the propitiation. I'm going to explain that word in a minute. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You know, that word propitiation, it's not really something that we use today, but really it's the same idea as mercy, or be merciful. We can go back to a story where the Lord Jesus spoke of two men going to the temple. One, he was a religious Pharisee. He was one, probably just in a sense, like Nebuchadnezzar. He thought he was something else, and he probably walked in, coat buttoned up, his chest stuck out, look at me, look how good of a person I am. I tithe of all my possessions, and I'm a good boy, and I go to church all the time. You know, you meet people like that. And he thought, well, if anybody deserves favor with God, it was me. Look at me, God, look at everything that I'm doing. There's another man, he's a publican. And if there was anybody in the nation of Israel that was hated, you know how much we all complain about taxes, don't we? None of us like paying taxes. Well, that's really what this other man, he was a publican, he was a tax collector, and to the Jewish people, he was really a traitor. This was a person that really was hired by the Roman government to collect taxes, and they really had a reputation of being crooked. They were often charged more tax than they were supposed to. So they were hated. They were despised. So as someone would have viewed these two people going to the temple, well, they would have thought, surely this Pharisee, he's made it. He's a religious guy. He goes to church all the time. You know, surely he's the one that God would find favor with. Here's this publican recognizing his sinfulness. He wouldn't even come close to the sacrifice. He just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the idea of propitiation. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done, because of the value of the sacrifice and because of the value of the blood of Christ that was slain at Calvary's cross, because of that, God can have mercy upon you and upon me because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And just as Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fire and he really understood that I'm dealing with somebody that's so much greater than me. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar was the great empire that I have built. There was someone greater than me, and he had recognized that. And there as they were brought out of that fire, he was amazed. They didn't smell like smoke. Their hairs weren't burned. Their clothes weren't burned. You know, the Lord Jesus, he felt the flames. He felt the heat. He felt the wrath of God at Calvary. And yes, he will forever bear the marks of Calvary. Even tonight in heaven, he has scars. He has nail prints in his hands. He has a spear wound in his side. He has prints of where the nails were in his feet. But he is God. And because he is God, he was able to endure. Yes, it was in 3 hours in our little time, but really what he endured was not 3 hours in that sense. It was infinite. And just as Nebuchadnezzar, he was amazed by this fourth man that really had preserved those other three men. It was all to do with the fourth man, the one that was like the Son of God. So when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to my salvation, it's nothing to do with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they recognized that as far as they were concerned, on their own, they would have been consumed. But they had faith in God, and God delivered them. What about you tonight? Again, we are not here presenting to you the gospel hall. We are not here presenting to you ourselves. We are not here presenting to you even baptism. Even though in a week or two we plan to have a baptism here, we do believe the Bible teaches that everyone that is saved should be baptized. That's what the Lord Jesus asks. But baptism does not bring you an inch closer to heaven. When it comes to you being in God's heaven, It's going to do with what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is offering to you the forgiveness of your sins based upon what happened at Calvary. So as I take my seat and as Ian closes the meeting tonight, are you going to continue on the way you come into the meeting and your own ideas, your own thoughts, and just continue on? Because I've said it before, other people have said it, when you walk out the door tonight, you will have already made a decision. You already have said yes to God or no to God. God is offering you His Son. God is offering you salvation. And you can either accept it or you will reject it, one or the other. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have read, He is a propitiation. He's really the grounds that God can have mercy because of your sin. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There's enough provision in the blood of Christ to save every single human being. That's what the Bible says. Wouldn't it be so sad when after the Lord Jesus, for everything that He has done for you, to reject Him, and have to face the judgment of your sins forever, when all the while the Lord Jesus has made a full payment for your sin, and all you have to do is just simply accept it. We all, no doubt most of us, if not all of us, have received gifts in the last week or so. What do? We just simply took the gift. We said, thank you. We opened the gift. We received it for ourselves, and we appreciate it. We're able to take it for ourselves. The Lord Jesus, He's offering you His salvation. All you have to do is simply accept it for yourself, understanding your need as a sinner. And the Lord Jesus will save you. He won't let you down. He won't turn you away. But as Brody often says when he's speaking, you have to be honest. We have all sinned. We've all taken our own way. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, we have to admit so often we think a lot more of ourselves than we should. And Nebuchadnezzar had to be brought down to size. Maybe that's what you need tonight. You have to understand how great God is. How terrible a sinner we are. Just naturally, it's who we are. But understanding when Lord Jesus died upon the cross, He has made a full payment for your sin. And you can be saved based upon what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary.